Hearts in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DefNet Media and HeartInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you
Liverpool Light Night.
Writing on the wall.
Monkey Monkeys.
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News. Now, Ian, in the news are really the three things that we just mentioned at the top of the show.
Yeah.
So we've got Light Night. Liverpool Light Night. Because Light Night, is it taking place across the UK?
Yes, well, across the UK it's called Museums at Night. So lots of museums and galleries are open until late, midnight even, unusual for museums. Yes, so it's a national thing, but Liverpool's done their own little twist on it, as Liverpool tends to do, and had a Liverpool Light Night. Because we obviously have this long night, don't we, in the autumn when it's dark. So tying into biennial usually, and so now we've got to do a summer one as well, a summer light night thing. They've released the brochure and it's online. You can go to culture.org.uk, all the details there. You can download the brochure, you can pick copies up from various places. I've got one here, and there's loads and loads going on, far too much for anybody to get around in one night. We'll be at Liverpool One for our Liverpool Art Prize
of course
review exhibition thing down College Lane there, and with some canapes from the new Lunya restaurant coming out.
Canapes?
Yeah.
I love canapes.
Or Spanish tapas type things, maybe. I don't know exactly what's coming out. We'll be there from 6 to 8 on College Lane. One thing I would really like to see is the biennial arrange something in near their office in Jordan Street, the Belgian artist Philippe Glisson. It's called Early to Bed and Early to Rise Makes a Man Healthy, Wealthy and Wise. And it's some sort of golden shower.
I think, whatever the band you'll get up to in their own time is no concern of ours. And I don't think we should be encouraging people to indulge in that sort of practice.
Some sort of cannon.
A cannon?
Yeah, which fires gold, bits of gold.
Okay.
And, I'm thinking of gold foil. Well, something like that.
Yeah.
I've only heard descriptions of it. I haven't actually seen it in action. That's somewhere in Jordan Street. The morning has gold in its mouth, it says. That goes from 6 till 10, so maybe catch it later. There's lots of arty stuff. The galleries, the Walker have the opening of their Toulouse-Lautrec exhibition. There's a Loacker art and craft fair in the Blue Coat courtyard. Another stuff at the Blue Coat as well. And something going on at the Victorian Gallery Museum. Curve Gallery is reopening with the launch of an exhibition. There's talks and debates. And films, there's film going on at FACT, isn't there? And there's some sort of disco thing.
A disco at FACT?
Yeah.
Well, like a proper one?
No.
There is the disco thing going on at Tate Liverpool, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right.
In the
sculpture thing, the disco sculpture
floor.
I'm just trying to find what's going on at FACT. I can't remember exactly now, but there's something.
and there's more information available online at the Open Culture website, culture.org.uk?
That's right, culture.org.uk, Open Culture, yeah.
So because this kind of like museums opening late, it's not, I mean, it's a new thing in the UK, but it's not a new thing in other countries.
That's right, yeah.
Because in places like America, museums stay open late, and they serve fine food, and you can book a restaurant. You can book a table, just similar to a restaurant kind of thing, which is actually quite nice, quite civilized.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like to see more of it, because it's to go out in the evening in the UK in Liverpool, it's bars and clubs, isn't it? It's good to have, well, maybe the theatre, but somewhere else that's not too expensive that you can go to you know, and just relax and have a nice evening out without just getting drunk.
Yeah.
Or get drunk as well if you like, but yeah, it's not all about that.
Yeah.
And it's more family friendly calories, aren't they? So, well, yeah, I found the thing of fact, disco dance marathon. Oh, 5 till 10. That's not much of a marathon. Oh, it's to go along with the Phil Collins film installations up there. It's as part of the My War exhibition where he filmed doing this disco dance marathon in Palestine. Yeah, so I'll look at that.
That's light night. That's coming up on the 14th of May. Now, also, Writing on the Wall is coming up soon. What do we know about that?
Yeah, Writing on the Wall, it's a literature festival, but there are some quite arty visual arts links in there as well. And that takes place from the 8th to the 22nd of May. Quite a long festival. It's, and it's its 10th anniversary, so they're having a bit of a party thing going on. And they're launching the launch event on Saturday at Studio 2 in Parr Street, festival launch party for their 10th birthday. Come along, there's all kinds of entertainment going on. Pauline Melville, the writer, the poet Paul Farley, he's good, I've heard him. Who else? Mandy Smith, the diva, and the hosted by Julian Daniels. £5 on the door, 8:30 till late at Studio 2. And yeah, it goes on for a few couple of weeks, and a couple of things one thing I wanted to mention was David Jakes, who's the artist shortlist of the Liberal Art Prize.
Excellent.
And he's doing a talk. What date was it? He's doing a talk with Stuart Hume on Wednesday the 19th at Blackburn House about art and rebellion. And he's written a piece in the Writing on the Wall brochure, which seems to be a preview of what he's going to show in the Liberal Art Prize, actually.
Ah. Yeah,
with stereoscopes and stuff. I think you look at two pictures, cross your eyes, and you get a third picture.
Mm.
But I hope he's going to use some more sophisticated equipment.
Yeah, maybe not.
And tell us. David Jakes is all about telling stories and imagining things, but with visuals as well. So what else is happening in Writing on the Wall? Oh, you think you might know more about it than me?
I don't at the moment, because I'm hoping to talk to Mike Morris later on today to interview him and for him to give us the lowdown about what's going on and all those kind of exciting things. So I did know about the launch on Saturday at the Studio 2, but other than that, I'm pretty ignorant. I knew about Dave Jakes because I was kind of like, ooh, Dave's talking.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a photographic exhibition as well. I'm not sure what the link is. Another time, another place in the Royal Museum community base. That's that room on the ground floor at the back.
Oh, St George's?
Royal Museum.
Royal Museum, ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Writing on the Wall. So there's lots of events coming up over the next few weeks. And because one of the things which we didn't mention in the top of the show is... what is the brochure that you have in your hand there?
It's quite a hefty brochure. The Liverpool Sound City.
Is Liverpool Sound City. Now, Sound City's been going, I know it's definitely been going for the last couple of years, maybe a bit longer. Run by Dave Piccolini, who started in the city or worked within the city in Manchester, has brought the idea to Liverpool, and it's been running for a while. Has numerous, I won't go into the figures because there are far too many figures to go into, X number of 100 bands playing in X number of venues to X number of people. There's also a conference going on, which I believe, if you get a wristband, which is £45, you get to go to see all the concerts and you also get to attend the conference. And the conference, I was going to say, for me, the conference is actually the interesting bit. And it is quite an interesting bit because it's quite informative for young musicians and musicians who've been in the game a long time about how to improve their career. What is it that they can do that will help them move their career along? And I think that's quite interesting. So last year there was some talks from filmmakers in America where they were saying, if you've got produce interesting music, send it to us. Let us have a listen. And then the next few films that they're producing, it's kind of like, it's fresh in their memory and it may well be included in the soundtrack for one of the movies. And again, you know, being in a soundtrack in a movie is a great way of getting people to listen to your work, because you know they're watching the film, but you know millions of people will be watching films, whereas you know on your MySpace site you might only get a couple of hundred people visiting and actually playing that track. Yeah. So it's a great way of getting a large audience.
Yeah.
What have you spotted in the art world?
Well, talking about the conference this year, you've got Ian McCulloch.
Uh-huh.
And, but also Seymour Stein, who legendary. Sire Records, signed Madonna, Talking Heads, Ramones, Smiths, Depeche Mode, Echo and the Bunnymen, etc. I think it's a bit more to have a full delegates pass for the conference. It's cost a bit more than your £45, but I'm not sure. There are all sorts of wristbands and offers and things.
Yeah.
It's difficult sometimes to work out without studying. There's a John Peel World Cup that happens every year. So they have a football competition where a lot of band members play five-a-side football.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to mention the Legends of Hip Hop. This is a film premiere exhibition at FACT. Actually bumped into Mike Badger last night, and he was involved in this, bringing this guy. Ernie Panicioli, who's the photographer who first started photographing people on the streets who were into hip hop, way back, because it's really changed since those early days. But he'll be showing these photographs of his photographs, and there'll also be a talk, Q&A, and so on, and with the hip hop people, Africa Bambaataa. Should be really interesting. That's a fact. And in the passing rapid on the top of Bow Street the other day, and Pete Benson and the Dinner Ladies were actually performing in the window of rapid, and there's quite a crowd outside. And that's a sort of precursor to what's going to be happening during Sound City. There'll be just impromptu performances from bands there, but also there'll be a huge. They said it's the UK's biggest exhibition of gig posters.
Excellent.
In
Rapid.
In Rapid, yes.
Oh, good. So, it's good.
I don't know. You probably just see them through the window, making good use of the shop front.
Well, on the Peter Bentham and the Dinner Ladies, they produce a free rock and roll podcast for Art in Liverpool FM.
Oh, yeah.
So I have been promised that they are recording this week, I think, or this as we speak, this week or later this week. It's only Wednesday, so this week. So there will be a new one of those coming out soon, in preparation for Liverpool Sound City.
Really?
So that's a bonus, but it's also good to see that Rapid hardware is being used, because. We did want the Hawaii DIY event, if that ever gets off the ground, to actually go into Rapid Hardware, but we'll be discussing that later.
All right, yeah.
Well, not me, but yeah. Not me and you, but me and somebody else.
All right, okay. Good. I'm not involved in that one. It sounds good, though.
Yeah.
And the biennial are going to have stuff in Rapid.
Okay.
During the biennial, yes. Uh-huh. So they're working on that. So apparently it's, now they've cleared all the stuff out of Rapid. It's a huge space.
It is a huge space. Lovely.
But again, they might just be using the windows, having one long exhibition just sort of right down Renshaw Street there. So yeah, that's good. And the other one thing I want to mention, Paul Rooney, another shortlisted artist for the Art Prize. He's doing this sound piece called Mackenzie. I don't know if you know this legend. St. Andrew's Church in Rodney Street. The old church was derelict for ages, and in the graveyard, small graveyard there, there's a pyramid.
Oh yeah.
Pyramid tombstone thing. What do you call it? A tombstone. Tomb.
Yeah, tomb.
Big pyramid thing. So everyone knows the pyramid. It's a real sort of.
Because it was referred to on Big Brother. Remember, there was somebody who was on a celebrity who was on Big Brother. She referred to the pyramid, and she said. Oh, I can't. She was out of books, so I'm not going to pretend I can do her accent. But she was saying, it's being taken down, it's being moved. I'm going to stop this. It can't happen. And I was there thinking, so I walked past it and went, "Where's she going on about? It's still here. It's not being taken anywhere. As far as I know, it's listed." So
yeah, I think so. Yeah. The first time it's been something with the
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's still there. But yeah, I've heard about this a while ago. There's a legend that. This guy called William McKenzie, who was a gambler, and he made a pact with the devil to get the winning hand in a poker game. So he got the winning hand in a poker game, but then died. So anyway, he left instructions that he wasn't to be buried, but he's actually encased in this pyramid, still sitting there on his chair with his winning poker hand.
Yeah, now.
So is he really there or not? Nobody really knows. But anyway, Paul is doing this sound piece inspired by that.
Excellent. Well, I also heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but there were more than one. There was more than one pyramid in that graveyard.
Oh, right.
And that one of those pyramids is in the back garden of a Liverpool City councillor.
Right.
That's what I heard. I'm not saying it's true.
A current councillor or a former one?
I don't know. Somebody just said a councillor.
Right.
So how very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
How very interesting. So there may well have been more than one. And if there was more than one, it might mean that the whole Mackenzie story about being buried in it with his, you know, with his hand, you know, cross-legged with his deck of cards in his hands, or his cards in his hands, that might blow the whole story out, blow it out the window, because there was more than one. And therefore, it might not have been his original idea.
Yeah, the plot thickens, doesn't it?
The plot does thicken, but you know, let's go down there one night. We'll pry the top off, and we'll actually find out.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one's done that already.
I'm surprised as well. also in the news, and we will move on to what you've been up to this week and what's coming up in the weeks ahead in a moment, is Manky Monkey. Now, Manky Monkey, the auction was last Thursday. At the Sefton Park Palm House, and you probably saw the monkeys around the city and on in their Hanover Street base. And the auction was last Thursday, as I said. So, organised by David and Erin at Hallangen.
Hallangen Lake.
Hallangen Lake. So, how did it get on? What went on? You said that you couldn't be there. I couldn't be there. I was far too busy seeing them. Gil Scott Heron. So, how did it go?
Gil Scott Heron.
No, you're
tweeting about it like crazy, so obviously very good. Yeah. Or you're bored.
No,
it's just the interval, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we didn't go to the auction ourselves, but they've sent out details, and they raised over £7,000 at the auction, and there's more money coming in from people who bought online and made other bids separately. And they had a raffle which raised 600, so they're really near the target of 10,000 in total, which will all go to the Alder Hey Imagine Appeal. So well done to them. And there was quite a crowd there. Seen lots of photographs, looked out, really good fun. T4's Matt and Darren were hosting it, and Andrew Binstock from Sutton Kirsch was the auctioneer. He was very good. Alder Hey say they're really grateful, and the don't know exactly how many monkeys have actually gone.
Mm-hmm.
There might be still some around available for people to bid on. So, anybody interested, just go to the Manky Monkey website, which is mankymonkey.com, and there's more details there.
Excellent. Raising £7,000, target of £10,000. They're more than halfway there, obviously. Sorry, a bit of mental arithmetic there. That's really good. I mean, it's for the Alder Hey Imagine Appeal, as you said.
Yeah, it's very good. It's been good fun. Lots of people.
It has been really good
fun. Worked really hard and voluntarily on it, obviously. So great. I'm just wondering what they're going to do next.
Interesting.
I know they were exhausted. I think they had the weekend off afterwards. It was a bank holiday weekend, wasn't it? Now they're back, sending out the press releases and all that, and actually shipping the monkeys out to where they've been sold, and there's still work to do. And they'll just think what they'd do with all their time.
Yep. Over the next couple of weeks, we're looking forward to Light Night on the 14th of May and Writing on the Wall and Liverpool Sound City. So it's all going on here in Liverpool. But that is the news for this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week that was last week. What you've been to? Well, I can see what you've been to because you've written it down for me very kindly. So tell us about Escapism by Tony Bishop at 33 to 45 Parr Street.
Okay then. I was going to do it in different order.
You can do it in whatever order you like.
From last week.
Yeah, go on then.
I can still remember a bit about it. Like Gostin's Gallery in Hanover Street, the group exhibition by LiverpoolGallery.com.
Yep.
That's this online gallery run by Anita Smith, which has lots and lots of artists in it, and some of them were in this group exhibition, and it was a good show. Some good artists in there, including Anita herself and Michelle Campbell and Micheline Robinson and Keith Smith and loads of others. So yeah, and they've actually got more space at Gosling's now because there's one or two empty units here. It's the Gosling's sort of shopping arcade thing on the first floor, above the old bookshop that used to be in Blue Coat. And so there was one or two empty units, so they've actually been able to use them as galleries. So it's quite a lot of stuff there. Yeah? Yes, that was last Thursday, and there was also a small exhibition at LCAD, Collins. Photographs to do with recycling. That's worth a look. So then going back to the last night, actually, we went to the Unity Theatre first. We went to Mick Gill paintings. Mick Gill's the guy who runs the Vitrium Gallery.
We interviewed him, didn't we?
That's right. That's why I booked him. Mike Magic was.
Oh, of course, because he turned up.
All the artists who've been in Mick Gill's thing at Vitrium were there last night, and others as well. So yeah, the Unity, they just show some artworks like in the corridor by the bar and on the top floor as well. Don't miss someone on the top floor. Really like Mick Gill's work. Very abstract, very like fluid, and paints quite thick, and uses acrylic and mixes it with water and other stuff as well, and just very colourful, and a lot of it's just sort of happy accidents. So, it just sees what happens, and if it doesn't like it, chucks away or redoes it, and just sees what he gets.
Because I used that one on the top of the post last week for the top of the Art in Liverpool podcast post, and it's kind of that was really nice. There was an explosive use of. What was that, crimson or some other red? Yeah, I don't know. So it was really nice, vibrant work. Yeah, so
In Unity, with lots of other really nice ones, yeah. And you sold a few last night as well.
Excellent.
Then we went down to 3345 Parr Street. Another artist who does really interesting abstract works, Tony Bishop. It's called Escapism. And he had an exhibition at St. Helens. I think he's based in St. Helens, and the Godfrey Pilkington Gallery there above the library.
Mm-hmm.
He had this escapism show, which has had a lot of works, and including drawings as well. So he brought some of that to the 345 Parr Street, which is a lot different from the Godfrey Pilkington Gallery in St. Helens.
Yeah.
Its big window and everything. Parr Street's really dark and nightclub and so on. But looks good. Yeah, he's got some works in the boardroom there as well. So here's, going from Mick Gill's very colourful works, Tony Bishop's look mainly white and grey, very monochrome, but if you look closely there are other colours in there, and it's a lot, again it's very thick stuff, and he puts bits of metal and wood and wire and all kinds in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're really nice, really nice. So he's there until the 14th of May, and Mick Gill at the Unity is there till 29th of May. So yeah, a fairly quiet week, but nice stuff.
Excellent. And that is the roundup of the week. This week. Now, Ian, this week, visual arts, openings, etc. What's coming on this week? Well, I say what's coming on this week. I've had a look down the list. It's not a lot.
Yeah, it's quite brief this week. I'm not sure why that is. Generally, election on Thursday, of course. So tomorrow, Thursday. We'll be voting, first of all.
Yep.
Before going off to one or two openings. But actually, just opened. We didn't make it to the open last night because we went to the other Unity and Parr Street. But at the Liverpool Academy of Arts, there was Crazy for You.
Crazy.
Which would be there until 14th, probably. It's just an open show, linking up with the Birkenhead Operatic Society's thing at the Empire, a musical, Crazy for You. They asked people to do artwork on that theme, and it was opened last night by Herbert of Liverpool. So we missed him. Sorry, I haven't even got any photographs. So.
You could always nip in and get your hair done by Herbert. I'm not sure if he does men's hair.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
But he's a TV celebrity, isn't he?
If he does his own hair, then maybe not.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, oh, celebrity, oh, well, yeah. So I haven't seen it yet, but it should be an interesting large group show. There were some prizes, all of the best ones. And it goes to, money goes to Queenie's charity. I can't remember what Queenie's is for, that charity.
Oh, it's okay, but yeah. We have the power of the internet.
Yeah, we'll check.
Then
on Thursday, there's a show at, I think I was talking about this before, wasn't I?
Yeah.
In St. Helens, and it's St. Helens College show. Work by the second year students at St. Helens College be a degree course in fine art painting.
And therefore the show is called BA2.
Oh yes, BA2, yeah. Second year BA. Okay, that's all the details I have on that. So I think there's only about a dozen or so artists in that show.
It's not on for long either, is it? It's from the 7th till the 12th of May.
Yeah, these the student ones are always quite brief. So just next week. From this week.
Yeah.
The 12th, next Wednesday. Then at nearer to home, the gallery in Clayton Square, the one run by Madeline Arts. The photographer, Zoe Richards. She's pretty good. She's done stuff in the working at the National Museum of Liverpool and so on. Does all kinds of photography, or even like commercial stuff, weddings and so on. But some nice, good stuff.
There's a nice picture there of the. She's obviously been to Venice.
Yeah, the gondola in Venice. That looks nice. And it's either
that or the Leeds Liverpool Canal.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Can't see any chimney stacks.
No.
That's a solo show, I think, there at the Gallery in Clayton Square. Opening on Thursday, the 6th of May, from 4:30 to 6:30, and then it'll be on for, a couple of weeks, I think. Then on Saturday.
This Saturday, that is.
I should mention also on Thursday evening, after you've been to vote, you can go to Static. And there's a big entertainment thing, what's it called? All talk, no ballads. Which I think there's like performances, music, and so on. So it starts from 9:30 when the polling station's closed. Right through the night, I think. What hours of the morning? I think you could probably watch the election results, or maybe just avoid watching the election results.
Yeah, one or the other. But there's all sorts of things going on in this city as well. There's a there's something going on at Hannah's Bar, which is just around the corner for the election night.
Right.
Where you get to go around, and what they're hoping to do, they've had a number of them over the past few weeks, and they're hoping to get somebody reporting live from the Liverpool count and streaming that into Hannah's via the power of the interweb. So it's quite interesting the way that everyone's gotten really, really interested in this year's vote. Whereas
last party before the new government takes.
Yeah, it could be that. Party. Yeah, the last person to leave the party, please turn the light out. It could be that. It's kind of like celebrate now because things are going to get bad.
I haven't heard that. Well, I don't think I heard about Hannah's Bar. I'm not sure if I can get past the bouncers there with my trainers.
I think they'll let you in. Right. You're quite respectable. There was quite a good. I went to an event there a couple of weeks ago, and there was quite a good turnout. There's about 50, 60 people in the room just sitting there watching the debate.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's quite interesting to watch a debate with a larger group of people.
Yeah.
All twittering like mad they were. Yeah. However, okay. That said, after Thursday.
So yeah, after Thursday, nothing on Friday, I don't think, but Saturday, out of the Royal Standard, what's his name, Mike Carney. You've probably seen his work, he did lots of illustrations and design work, and he has a studio there at Royal Standard, and he says it's a pre-release launch for a thing called Drawing Paper, issue number one. It's a free newspaper focused on drawing and stuff like that stuff. I don't know much about what the paper looks like or how big it is, but it's great to have a free paper and drawing. This first issue has working 20 artists, including John Barrickoff, Mike Carney himself, Gemma Egan, Henry Finney. Some of these are more standard artists, Harry Lawson and so on. Should be interesting. Go along on from 5 to 8:30 on Saturday and pick up a copy and join the party. Yeah, previous party.
Excellent. Now, so that's on Saturday the 8th of May from 5:30 to 8:30. And what you might want to do is head along to that, enjoy the barbecue if the weather's good, and then head along to the Writing on the Wall launch, which we mentioned at the top of the show, which is taking place at
Studio 2
at 33 to 45 Parr Street, which is the ground floor bit, which is run by
Gary Miller.
That's it. I was going to say Mike for some reason. Yeah, by Gary Miller. So that should be quite good, and it's Writing on the Wall's 10th anniversary of Festivals on the Edge, and with performances by Pauline Melville, Paul Farley, and other people.
Kind of blue.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, starts at 8:30 and goes on to 8. £5 or £3 on the door.
Yep, there you go. Payable on the door as well. So that's Saturday the 8th of May. Now, coming up on Sunday.
Yep, if your hangover's not too bad, get off to Leaf Cafe, Leaf Tea Bar and Cafe in the elevator building for Make Sundays. This is a monthly event. Well, starting March, they missed April for some reason, but they're on in March, and it'll be every month. I think it's the second Sunday, is it? So it's Sunday 9th of May. So they have the monthly, the art and craft people from the Wacker Art have their stalls in the cafe there, but you can also get the lift up to the elevator, up to Elevator Studios and Arena Studios, because they have like an open studio thing going on. Just while the Make Sundays event is going on. Yeah, we went to the March one. It was Mother's Day, actually. It was really busy. The cafe and the stores, everything were doing well.
So it's quite a popular venue, isn't it, Leaf
yeah.
Cafe?
Yeah.
And considering the fact that it's actually quite inaccessible.
Mm, yeah, you know, it's dangerous.
Dangerous, in fact, to try and get to.
Yeah. There's no pavement, not much pavement, and the cars are rolling up Parliament Street.
Yeah. But they are in the process of doing street works around there to actually pave that and give the pedestrians access to so there is pedestrian access to it, which is really good.
Yeah.
So that's on Leaf Cafe on Parliament Street.
Yeah, sorry, it starts at 11 and goes on till 5 in the afternoon. Well, also on Sunday, it's the Secret Gardens of Oxton.
So if you live the other side of the water.
Yep. Hopefully it'll be, obviously in the forecast, but it was a bit wet last year, so hopefully it'll have a nice sunny day. You can go around all these lovely gardens in Oxton Village, over in Birkenhead. And I think it cost a fiver to go around them all or something. But along with that, this year, I think it's the first time they're having a secret shop at Villa Jazz in Oxton Village. Villa Jazz is some sort of shop there. I'm not familiar with it.
Could be a pub for all you know.
It could be. The premises of Villa Jazz. Yeah, don't know what it is. Somewhere in Oxton Village. And so there's Oxton artists, Alison Bailey-Smith, Judith Brown, Desdemona McCannon, and others. They've got a blog for it. thesecretshopoxton.wordpress.com.
Brilliant. Now, that's on Sunday the 9th of May. Now, coming up on Tuesday the 11th is the Ballad of Juniper Davy and Sonny Lumiere.
Yeah.
This is on Tuesday the 11th of May. It's not very far away at all, is it? At Metal at Edge Hill.
That's right, yes.
Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this a couple of times before, but it's just on for the week, actually. It opens on the 11th and runs through to the Friday, the 14th, or maybe the Saturday, it's on Saturday 15th. And it's a performance by Elizabeth Willow, who, you remember, won the People's Choice
Winner,
Liverpool Art Prize. Got onto a lot of work all around the place. And Rebecca Sharp, or Rebecca Joy Sharp, who plays the harp and writes the music, and so they collaborate with covers and other things as well. So they've written this whole story, partly based on the history of Edge Hill Station, the oldest passenger station in the world. So they're using the station buildings and sort of installed stuff, and you're thinking of sort of promenade, the performance around while they play music and tell the story, etc. Cost £7, £5 concessions. Starts at 7:30, I think. I've got my tickets, and honestly, the tickets are worth the £7 alone.
Oh, really?
Got an envelope with all these things. Like there's a what looks like a train ticket,
uh-huh.
But it's all in Elizabeth Willow's beautiful handwriting, decorative handwriting, in the sort of old Elizabethan style. And so you got like a little train ticket, and you're encouraged to go on. If you go on the train, it's only like 3 minutes from Lime Street. Present your ticket, you get a free bun and a cup of tea or something. And another sort of more details about the show and another actual ticket that you give in. They're just all beautifully drawn and written, and so I'm going to keep them.
Brilliant. Yeah. What about if the guard wants to keep your ticket?
Oh, I suppose he will, yeah.
Well, he probably will.
Yeah, I'll add a bit more to it.
It will?
Yeah.
It will. Oh, that sounds really good.
I hope you can do that kind of scribble thing they do on some.
Yeah, you just say again, look, don't scribble on it. Yeah. Look, that's, everyone knows that's not your signature.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it should be really good. So opens the public on Tuesday and goes through till Saturday, £7.
Brilliant. And that is what's coming up this week. Further ahead, okay, further ahead, we have, of course, Liverpool Sound City, which we mentioned at the top of the show, which is from the 19th to the 22nd of May for, you know, X number of 100 bands playing to X number of 100 people across X number of 100 venues and over X number of nights, including some arty events and various different things. But we also, while we're here, Ian, I must say it's very good of you to give me my private view invitation ticket to the Liverpool Art Prize 2010, taking place on Thursday, the 3rd of June. Thank you very much, Ned. Tell us a bit about this.
So that's it, yeah. Metal, again, Edgehill Station, the new venue for the Liverpool Art Prize. As you say, opens on the private view is on 3rd of June, and then it runs through until the 10th of July. I've been hearing bits about what the artists are doing. Uh-huh. It's actually Jenny Porter, who is based at Metal, is sort of curating the exhibition side. I've been busy working on these invites, flyers, catalogues, and all that sort of stuff. The shortlist is Gina Zarnicki, David Jakes, James Quinn, Paul Rooney, and Emily Speed. To what I've seen and heard, it's going to be really, really interesting stuff. So, get the train from Lime Street to Edge Hill and have a look.
Now, and don't forget, it's £2,000 to the overall winner and £1,000 to the People's Choice winner, which is brilliant. That's really good opportunity for Liverpool-based, and I'm doing that funny thing with my fingers, Liverpool-based artist to win.
Yeah, because the winner also gets to show at the Walk.
Oh yes, well, which you mentioned last week.
Yeah, so next spring sometime they'll have a show there. So that's another prize, I suppose. And so don't forget to vote. We've got voting slips printed as well. They're looking nice. So anyone who goes to the exhibition can fill in the voting slip and put it in the box there, which we have here.
You have in this office?
In the office, must remember to take it over to Metal. So that's...
Okay, and that is really...
What else? There's Bite on the Wall coming up. What else? Long Night, of course.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Liverpool Open Studios is coming up. Of June, so we've been organising that. Got a lot of the main Liverpool Studios involved in that. So go to Liverpool Studios, LiverpoolOpenStudios.com for the latest details.
Brilliant. And that is Further Ahead, and that is the Art in Liverpool podcast for this week. And that is, thank you very much, Mr. Ian Jackson from ArtinLiverpool.com.
Thank you.
Thanks for downloading from DefNed Media.